Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. I have a full program as usual, with the addition of the monthly message from Matthew, which comes through his mother, Susan Ward. And of course I will start with the usual one, which is an update by Sheldon Nidal on behalf of the Spiritual Hierarchy and the Galactic Federation. I find normally there's very little that one can really edit out of these messages because they are so important. It starts this week by saying that we come again with more heartening things to tell you. The operation to transform your world gathers pace. The final stages of this clandestine undertaking involve a series of essential negotiations, which are bringing a long overdue resolution to your dying reality. This last bit of putting everything into place is destined to lead to the disbursement of the prosperity funds, the affirming of global debt forgiveness, and major regime changes in America, Europe, Africa, Australia, and Asia. The result is to be a new world, one that formally declares its commitment to world peace, universal prosperity, and global cooperation. In this new environment, programs for transforming the present dangers of global warming, pollution, and disease can be started on a massive scale. Also, an essential education drive concerning the Great Consciousness Shift can be fully explained and expounded upon by experts in this field. This clarification of the planet's spiritual status quo, in conjunction with a series of peace conferences, is central to bringing the world's myriad conflicts to a timely conclusion. This new world is swiftly taking shape. Most of the negotiations and in-depth logistical discussions on forging this new reality are over. The new reality puts America on an even footing with Europe and the leading countries of Asia. This group is to possess the initial hard currencies to be used for trading goods and services throughout the globe. Below them come the remaining nation states. Next, the major regional unions in Asia, Africa, Europe and the Americas and the Pacific are to become more closely linked to the United Nations. The result is a multi-tiered system designed to encourage cooperation, peace and cultural reciprocity. Each nation has a firm responsibility to provide its citizens with prosperity, food, shelter, clothing, health care, and a sustainable, pollution-free environment. But above all, each nation is charged with protecting the freedom and personal sovereignty of each citizen. In turn, each citizen is obligated to seek the highest level of education concerning these rights and to honour a lifelong commitment to be effective watchdogs for these God-given rights. The United Nations and a number of major organisations dealing with the world's financial community are to be restructured to enable them to carry out new missions. The new UN is to be given the teeth necessary for transforming this globe into a truly peaceful community of nations. The critical key to this is the Security Council, the Secretariat, and the various independent agencies calling for in the new UN Charter. The UN is to become a moderator and a prototypical model for change, which means that a drastic redesigning is required. As yet, we cannot reveal details of this, as this overhaul is to be announced after the global regime changes are firmly in place. What we can say here is that the UN is to offload a vast baggage of personnel that has hindered its mission and is to streamline how it carries out its new mandate. The new world is to be very different from the one you know, and its operation and even appearance will seem strange at first. Nonetheless, this unprecedented committee of nations will produce the policies that foster global peace and global prosperity. Another prime issue is environmental sustainability and the protection and enhancement of Mother Earth's multiple ecosystems. As these projects are a global endeavour, The new system of nation states is a vital ingredient. The pollution created by China and India is as dire as that of the Americas. Formal global policies need to be applied at once, and many long-suppressed free energy technologies put into massive production and swiftly put to use. These simple measures can clean up lakes and waterways and bring back life to the arid regions of the planet. These withheld technologies can also restore the oceans to health and alleviate the disaster in the making created by global warming. In this way, you can at last honour and show your love for Mother Earth, the beautiful and fragile living entity that is your home. Mother Earth is currently in a slow transition mode. She knows she must restrain the changes that she longs to begin. Her ecosystems are under grave threat from the rising industrialization of the Third World and from the failure of America to rein in its main polluters in the energy and transportation sectors. This contributes to the growing crisis on land and in the planetary atmosphere. The looming specter of global extinctions has reached the oceans, warning of the possibility that the original source of life on Earth could become barren. Draconian measures of global reach are urgent and compulsory here, as the life energy of the oceans is necessary as a component for maintaining life on land. Indeed, all ecospheres are interdependent and intermeshed, forming the great whole which sustains Mother Earth and permits her to evolve. Mother Earth evolves her many environments by bringing forth new life, new species, and new energy according to a rhythm of cycles. She is a living entity who works tirelessly to provide for her children. Each of her eco-environments supports its sister environment, and your role is to monitor these relationships and help them along. Sadly, you have unthinkingly laid waste to much of her surface and air. Now, however, your blossoming wisdom and rising consciousness have kicked in to make you aware of this and to give you the means to redress your previous activities. The next step is to jumpstart the policies agreed upon by our Earth allies as soon as the cabal-backed regimes are evicted from power. This first contact mission is a natural response to the changes you are accomplishing on your planet. The subject matters we outline in our messages are either already realized or at least well underway. As a result of this, we can now dovetail our contributions with your own plans and help to expand them. We see ourselves as partners with you in this time of change rather than teachers. We want to walk by your side as you awaken to your divine potential. It is our wish that you take this awesome inheritance and fully realize it. Furthermore, the sacred orb that you call your home is a most special soul, and we are entrusted with the honor of helping you prepare her for her next leap in consciousness. And so we come, bearing the means to wrap up this odyssey and start off with you on another more joyous one, which is to take you to the very centers of creation. From our off-world perspective, we watch with great anticipation the swiftly mounting momentum on your world that heralds the imminent arrival of the great shift. Each day, it moves closer to the brink. Each of you is progressing well towards a state of full consciousness. Some fine, albeit inconspicuous, examples of this are being demonstrated by our Earth allies' resolute progress towards their objectives. Meanwhile, the intransigence of your last dark cabal continues, and as we watch this final match pan out, it is clear that the work of the divine is to teach, guide, and gather wisdom for its divine offspring. We ponder over the mighty struggle taking place on your world, and rejoice at the now obvious turnaround that is to bring Earth humans such an auspicious victory. The ring of destiny is slipping from the grasp of the dark cabal to yours, my friends, as surely and swiftly as dawn follows night. And they close by saying, today we expanded upon the events of the day. We ask you to be focused and confident in the knowledge that your victory is both inevitable and close at hand. Very well. Very warming message and consistent with what we've been told for quite a long time, and indeed it seems And dare I say it yet again that this just has to be a wonderful year. And as a year, speaking numerologically, it's one which is said to be completion. Now, I will first move on to the general news and then on to Matthew's message. And the general news, quite a few items here. The big news, I suppose, must be President Bush's speech, where he's intending to send 20,000 or so more troops to Iraq. And already that has caused a great uprising, and there are campaigns and petitions to say that America says no more troops. And apparently, as of the 11th of January, which was, of course, yesterday, from a website called TrueMajorityAction.org, Matt Holland said that the president has finally spoken and his plan to send even more troops to Iraq has Americans across the country all fired up. Hundreds of events are scheduled for tonight. That was, of course, yesterday, in nearly every state, demanding that no more troops be sent to Iraq. Now, today, there was an update on that particular subject, and it's now worked out that there are over 1,000 events nationwide protesting over Bush's escalation plan. And so, you can go onto that site and they'll tell you about events possibly in your area, or you can sign a petition demanding Congress start an end to the war in Iraq. And there's a place where you can get your friends to sign on and so forth. Anyway, if you're interested in that, it's clearly a site well worth looking at. Where am I? Another report here from Brad Newsham. It comes via his email address, and apparently it's partly a copy of a socio-political report, and it follows on to the last message by mentioning that over 1,000 people gathered in Nancy Pelosi's district on Ocean Beach in San Francisco to spell out the message, impeach. America is a great country. And the event organizer is Brad Newsham. And he has his own website, which is beachimpeach.org. Now, he's apparently a local cab driver and author. And he says, President Bush has betrayed our faith. He misled us into a disastrous war and is trampling on our Constitution. He has to go now. I hope Nancy Pelosi is listening today. And he said that the majority of Americans share his sentiments. And a 2006 Sobey poll found that 52% of Americans agreed with the statement. If President Bush wiretapped American citizens without the approval of a judge, they would agree that he should be held accountable through impeachment. So there we are. Things are moving amongst the people. Somebody emailed me today a copy of a full-page ad that went, I believe, into the New York Times, and I suppose you have to be amazed that they actually accepted it from the website that I've just mentioned, and it's quite a good one. Obviously, it's headed as Impeach Now, and it shows a photograph of George Bush, and of course, it's got a few words in there as the reason why. It mentions the march, which is coming up, March on the Pentagon, the March the 17th, and you can sign up there to the petition. So it's getting big, and things are happening and escalating, I think, very quickly. It was some bad news, I believe, this week. This came up yesterday, that the US forces have raided Iranian offices in Iraq. And this came through Tehran Reuters. Actually, it was yesterday morning when that came through, and it mentioned about US forces storming an Iranian government representative's office in the northern Iraqi city of Arbil early on Thursday, where they arrested five employees, including diplomats and staff. That was according to Iranian officials. Now, that would, by any interpretation, be illegal, and it really is an action of war. So there has been some thought that that is the intention of George Bush and his administration, is to try and, I suppose, wind up the Iranians and try and get a response, because there still is a feeling that the plan to invade Iran has certainly not been shelved for 1 minute. Now, interesting article here that's a follow-on to something that came up some weeks ago. It was to do with a company in Ireland called Steon, and they got some technology because they've discovered a magnetic free energy system, and they are arranging for it to be reviewed and evaluated by a panel of experts in a few days. And they have announced that they will put the technology under a modified general purpose license for the benefit of the world. That's a wonderful action. I'm a little surprised they've been able to get this far, because historically any inventions that offer free energy have either been brought out by the big conglomerates, or the people involved with them have been, shall we say, shut up or threatened in different ways so that they drop the ideas. So maybe yet again we're seeing the beginning of the end of this hiding up of these free energy pieces of equipment or otherwise that we obviously are going to urgently require in the very near future. And of course that was confirmed by the message I read today from Sheldon Nidal. A little follow-on to what I've just read came from a site called Shamir.org through a person called Bearden. And he was commenting on about this same company that we don't have a world energy crisis per se, because the seething vacuum energy is easily available, inexhaustible and ubiquitous and clean. Instead, we have an energy from fuel crisis, because we have a world fuel crisis and we insist on only going after energy from fuel. Obviously, the answer is to get off the energy from fuel kick and go for fuel-free energy from the vacuum. And he's saying, I certainly hope that Sean McCarthy and his group, he's talking of Spion there, will be able to force the scientific community's hand, so it will have to correct the glaring errors in the CEM EE model that it has been riding for a century. And he says it will be interesting to see what happens to Spion and Sean McCarthy, and how the huge cartels that do not wish this to be done and have been blocking such systems for that same 100 years will quickly approach and deal with this new threat to their huge energy setup, as they have established it so lucratively for themselves. So there's many things on the boil at the moment. Now, probably one of the big stories that will be ongoing, which seems to crop up every week in my programme, something new surfaces, is to do with the Leo Wanta agreement that he entered into with the New World Order to get back, at this stage, only a portion of the $4.5 trillion, which were supposed to have been paid back, as far as I recall, by the end of November. It reads that, for those unfamiliar with the story, Wanta in May entered into an agreement with the New World Order to get back a portion of the estimated $27.5 trillion under his financial control, which goes back to the time of President Reagan. But it says, however, the Bush administration, under recently appointed U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry M. Paulson, has stolen the Wanta money that Cottrell traced being illegally transferred for New World profits in several large US and German banks. Now, that's just a refresher as to what we're talking about, but quite a big report has come out updating what has been happening in respect of the Leo Wanta Fund, as it's become known, and highlighting a day-to-day diary here from the 6th of January up to the 9th. Amazing, there's quite a little bit involved here. So So I'll just take a quick read down and pick out the most important points. But it's showing us what is happening. And this email came to me today. And it was headed, "Top Official Scammers Committing the Worst Treason in US History." Apparently on the 6th of January, the associates inform Ameritrust Group, who the money I think was held in trust for, that the Vatican is a major shareholder of the naked shorted stock, CMKX, and that there are parallel activities relating to the Ameritrust Group efforts regarding the release of the diverted, delayed and stolen $4.5 trillion settlement and CMKX stock valuation and payment. On the 7th, they said that the White House was in total array, with people leaving, trying to leave, and or obtaining legal counsel against the hurricane to come. And apparently the disarray is directly related to reports about Paulson having been arrested and publication of the letters submitted to President George W. Bush and Vice President Richard Cheney, subject of the preceding posting and innumerable inquiries concerning the whereabouts of the US Treasury Secretary, Paulson. On the 7th, apparently Chinese representatives informed the associates of Ameritrust Group that Chinese officials have suddenly aborted all question of contacting Ambassador Leo E. Wanter and or Michael C. Cottrell. On the same day, another authority source in the United States surfaced and verified to an associate of Ameritrust Group that Mr. Paulson was indeed arrested in Germany in December 2006. They needed to confirm it because there's been some speculation, probably from disinformation groups, that he wasn't arrested at all. On the 8th of January, apparently in the West Wing of the White House, they have appointed lawyers and that a number of case numbers have been assigned regarding this matter. And they say this provides a further indication of total disarray prevailing in the White House as a direct consequence of the criminal financial corruption operations perpetrated to date. And they say at least one case number has also been assigned for an operative who has been distributing diversionary disinformation and libeling the editor of International Currency Review. Yes, indeed, I think I've actually read that report. I don't think I actually mentioned it on the programme, but there we are. Apparently, measures are also being taken behind the scenes to address this self-incriminating black ops behaviour, which has revealed dimensions of the corruption that the criminal cadres had thought would never come out. And that is their problem. They thought they got away with it. Again, on the 8th of Jan, was information about the New World Order, and this was aired on the Lou Dobbs report on CNN, and it referred to a subversive CIA Omega operation, and specifically Bill Tucker exposed capsule information on Robert Solnit and the Association of American Free Trade Agreement, which would enable private organizations in the United States, Canada, Mexico, and Latin America to create a common market, enabling a small elite group of corporations to smother and supersede the sovereignty of each country in the Americas. So that's another little development from there. And so it goes on. I won't read every bit. It tends to cover the same matter a number of times. I'm reading now quickly to see if there's anything really worthwhile mentioning. They do say that Henry M., conflict of interest Paulson, upon arrest, presented a diplomatic passport, which he had been advised, provided him with immunity from arrest. However, this diplomatic passport was not, repeat not, confirmed by the US consulate, and it was therefore held for testimony in connection with Mr. Paulson's activities relating to the non-payment, diversion, manipulation, and de facto theft of the private funds belonging to Ambassador Lee Wanter, or Leo Wanter, I should say. With Goldman Sachs and Company, a co-conspirator, and the funds located with RABO Bank in Germany for the benefit of Ambassador Leo Wanter of the Ameritrust Group, and so on. say, it goes on a bit. But there, you've got the gist of that. I won't read any more. I've got some other news items here. But that one will run without a shadow of a doubt. Now, there's something a little bit different in the general news regarding scientists who, believe it or not, have found, or alleged to have found, extraterrestrial genes in human DNA. Now, this apparently came from a website called agoracosmopolitan.com. And it was an article written by John Stokes. So I'll read the gist of this for you. It's basically saying that a group of researchers working at the Human Genome Project told of an astonishing scientific discovery, as a result of which they believe that the so-called 97% non-coding sequences in human DNA is no less than the genetic code of extraterrestrial life forms. And they say that the non-coding sequences are common to all living organisms on Earth, from moles to fish to humans, and in human DNA they constitute larger part of the total genome, says Associate Professor Sam Chang, who is the group leader. And he said, non-coding sequences, originally known as junk DNA, were discovered years ago and their function remained a mystery. He says, the overwhelming majority of human DNA is off-world in origin. The apparent extraterrestrial junk genes merely enjoy the ride, with hard-working active genes passed from generation to generation. He says, after comprehensive analysis with the assistance of other scientists, computer programmers, mathematicians and learned scholars, Professor Chang had wondered if the apparently junk human DNA was created by some kind of extraterrestrial program. The alien chunks within human DNA, Professor Chang further observes, have its own veins, arteries and its own immune system that vigorously resist all our anti-cancer drugs. And Professor Chang further stipulated that our hypothesis is that a higher extraterrestrial life form is engaged in creating new life and planting it on various planets. Earth is just one of them. Perhaps after programming, our creators grasp the same way we grow bacteria in petri dishes. We can't know their motives, whether it was a scientific experiment or a way of preparing new planets for colonization. Or is it long-time ongoing business of seedling life in the universe? And so it goes. Believe it or not, the report was 9 pages long. So I've read you the introduction, because in that you get the main point of what the article is. But that's a wonderful bit of information. And it's interesting to see how suddenly all of these things are tying in. The proof that we are connected with our extraterrestrial friends, the fact that they are expecting to be with us soon, and the likelihood is it will be in the course of this year. And of course they have been in contact with us since the original saucer flaps, probably in the 1940s, although of course through a long time of our history, going back into ancient times, there is evidence of them always having had some form of contact with us. But this coming time is clearly for a very special purpose, because we're coming to the end of this particular cycle of duality. Now, a bit of information that isn't so welcome, I suppose, on a website, prleak.com, is one talking about smart card readers. And they say that fire has been drawn from some quarters as the US government plans to use radio frequency identification chips in the proposed program of passport cards for US citizens. They say that these ID cards will be mandatory for residents who are not having passports for their identification anywhere in the country or overseas. And this program has been proposed so that security can be shored up throughout the nation. Passengers who travel by air among different countries may be asked to show this kind of an ID proof any time from the 1st of January 2007, whereas for those who travel by land or sea, this rule is going to be applicable from January 2008. The State Department said, instead of using contactless smart card technology, proximity read, it will use the RFID technology, vicinity read, in cards in these new e-passports. The objective is to have passport cards of credit card size. Therefore, Customs and Border Security officials can read these cards even when they are 20 to 30 feet away. Obviously, it goes on to make the comment that people with RFID enabled ID cards may be exposed to a greater surveillance without being aware of it. And individuals with such cards also likely to have less control over when they want to be identified and what information is read, stored and shared. So while some people might welcome that in some ways, I think it's an intrusion on our sovereignty, on our freedom. And it's all coming, of course, in the name of the war against terror, when in fact there are, in reality, very few real terrorists, in my opinion. Another article here that came up last Saturday, it was by Michael Meaney from a website, rinf.com, and that's spelled R-I-N-F. Now, apparently, this is Tony, it's related to Tony Blair's website. And it's concluding that the British government are removing names and websites from an online petition calling for further investigation into the events of 9/11, which have been posted on Tony Blair's website. And it's attracting quite a bit of attention, and at the time this report came out, it had attracted 289 signatures. Now, that doesn't sound very much, I must admit. But in the way that petitions are normally received, I think that's a very good start. Now, someone who signed on Tuesday, the 2nd of January, and then checked later to see it on the website, found that 3 days later his signature had been removed, while other names and website addresses remain. And the report here says this is obviously not fair game by any standard, and it begs the question as to why the website I mentioned, rinf.com, has been removed. It is abundantly clear that someone does not want you to view this website. Are we getting too close to the truth for comfort? And so they promise to keep an eye on that situation. But isn't it sad that at every turn the government's trying to take away our freedom of expression? Now, a final item in the general news relates again to this matter concerning Paulson. Actually, the whole report, believe it or not, was 10 pages long. Now, I'm not going to go over all that again, but they're talking one or two things here, such as the whole matter might be a serious danger and have an unpleasant anti-Semitic backlash, because they're saying if it happens, the government of Israel will only have itself to blame if the firestorm which the reports on this crisis have already ignited devolves into an unwelcome outburst of anti-Semitism, which the evil forces manipulating these matters would like to see accentuated. They say, therefore, it will be incumbent upon the Israeli authorities to disgorge any stolen funds and to provide the Americans with all the necessary assistance for appropriate apprehension, extradition, and legal procedures to be taken in the circumstances. Now, what they're talking about was something that, according to a high-level White House source, was that Paulson, after he was arrested, immediately flew to Israel, and he was seen standing around, separated from the president, with his hands in his pockets. And they said he has not been in charge of the money bags for many days now. And all the intelligence resources at Ambassador Leo Wanda's disposal are currently being deployed to obtain further and better particulars, and specifically whether his departure is to be of an indefinite duration, as is being suggested. If it transpires that this report from the high-level White House source is accurate, as its impeccable provenance implies, this already grave international crisis will be ratcheted up by several further notches, especially if it also transpires that the United States has been ransacked by foreign intelligence and that substantial funds have been stolen in the process. I see had just had a sip of my drink to keep me going. Walter and I would hasten to add. So there's a lot more on this particular website about the ins and outs of what is happening and the potential outcome. And quite a lot of people who are in the financial markets deal with international currency are throwing their thoughts in. And clearly that one is one to keep an eye on. Now, time races by, doesn't it? I'm coming to Matthew's message, which comes through his mother, Susan Ward. I feel obliged to read it all out because I read it through a few times, and as usual, it's so informative, so I think it's very important to get that one out. I'm hoping I'll have a little time after to move on to a few UFO reports. I think my other messages might have to be left till next week when I'll have more opportunity to read them. Now, Matthew was asked to start his messages, and of course, if you know Matthew or you've listened to my program regularly, you'll know that he has the ability to already know a lot of the questions that are being asked through the, I think, hundreds of emails that Susan Ward gets. So he often does a collective reply rather than refer to individual ones. So he says, let us start with my answer. When you asked me on New Year's Eve, will the energy from all the celebrations around the world have any lasting effect? And he said, always there is a reverberation from the high spirits of crowds welcoming a new year. And some of it remains via action on good intentions. But never before in Earth's history has the energy of that annual occasion given such forceful momentum toward peace. Hearts and minds filled with hope, with encouragement, that the time of peace is nearing, and the energy of those emotions sparkles magnificently. You can think of this graphically as the collective fireworks that briefly but spectacularly lit up the skies in a wave around your world as a global beacon guiding peace and spiritual enlightenment ashore. He goes on to say, your world is war-weary. Even those who are committed to the war that is blazoned on newspaper front pages and dominates Newcastle weary. But it comes from their ongoing failure to achieve the victory they had expected to come easily. Indicators of the frenzy in the administration and the fatigue in the military are the individuals being repositioned or replaced to create the appearance of a new strategy in Iraq. Principal players who formerly supported the war have abandoned ship either by disillusionment that policies proven futile nevertheless were continued, or by seeing the light and embracing it. A great deal is fermenting behind the scenes, and some results that could be considered complete are not being made public. Incidentally, they will be, because the ultimate reason for the tumult in the Middle East cannot stay cloaked much longer in the sin of a democratic Iraq or Israel's national security. With the ever-growing demands for troop withdrawal from Iraq and for attention to be given to stopping genocide, starvation, deceit, poverty and new weapons development, the light is shifting the power from the dark perpetrators to the enlightened populace. If I had chosen only one word to describe what is happening in Earth's energy field of potential, it would be turmoil. And turmoil is to be heartily welcomed as the forerunner of the massive desire for peace being manifested. Reformation or transformation comes only when enough energy is put forth to move any situation from status quo into betterment. This is what you're doing, and we praise and admire your steadfastness in holding the light throughout the years when little change was evident. We know that you have been longing for tangible evidence of light's progress beyond our assurance that we see it, and your patience and perseverance will be well rewarded this year. But please do not anticipate totally smooth sailing during the process of energy adjustment. We do not see the tenacity of the darkest ones flagging, and we do see their desperation growing. The combination indicates that they intend to keep the pressure on. There will be more geophysical events to transmute the negativity stored as kinetic energy. Weather anomalies leading to a more moderate climate globally will continue for a while longer, and disease, impoverishment and ignorance cannot be eradicated overnight. Yes, indeed, you have our space family's incalculable assistance, but it is vital to keep foremost in your thoughts that each of you has the power to speed the day when Earth is radiant in vibrations of love and peace. Focus thoughts and feelings on what you want for yourself and your world is prayer, and the power of prayer is immeasurable. Understandably, many readers from countries other than the United States are asking about their leaders and whether situations such as their unjust laws, denial of human rights, oppression of women, and civil wars will end. So again, I tell you that everything that applies to the US applies globally insofar as the light initiating changes from bad to good in all conceivable ways. Because the US government seemingly is the bully regarding world events, it gets the most publicity, although it is a worldwide cabal, often called the Illuminati, that wields the power via the purse strings that have controlled many governments, provoked wars, and kept deceit, violence, and oppression thriving. Through a stream of defectors from lower level ranks and efforts moving forward to remove the vast illegal fortunes of the Illuminati, their control is being consistently battered. Although it is becoming apparent that new political figures with promising ideas and intentions are rising in prominence in some countries, the beneficial changes underway are not coming from political systems. The changes so sorely needed are coming from the increased light in people worldwide. It is the collective light on the planet that is ushering your world into the golden age. Now, Matthew's mother said, light workers understand it. So she wanted to know when we would see unmistakable evidence of big changes. So Matthew said, he didn't know exactly when, but changes come according to the energy put into it. And there are more factors affecting the momentum of change than the people who are determined to stay the course toward world domination with the conquest of the Middle East as a necessary step. The lack of truthful information in mainstream media remains a contributor because many still believe whatever rhetoric is put forth, and the energy of their thoughts is stuck in that information. But there are other influencing sources too, mostly fear or apathy in people who don't have light workers' understanding of what is transpiring. People who are barely eking out a living wage are fearful of losing that income. And those who have no jobs or homes or healthcare and no hope of ever improving their life standards are fearful about what will happen to them. Parents and grandparents despair about the world their families will inherit. These many millions of souls, plus all who are besieged with their own or loved ones' debilitating illnesses, are grieving from loss of their dear folks and are preoccupied with their everyday lives that leave no emotional margin or interest in thinking beyond that. Many people have become inured to war as a way of life and just go about their daily affairs. Employees of companies that supply the war machine are interested in their jobs continuing. Young adults who see no sense in making long-term plans escape into drugs or immersion in violent computer games. Feelings of the religiously devout who believe their religion is the only true one range from despising the Muslim enemy to accepting their death and destruction of their country is God's will, and believers in Armageddon are simply waiting to be saved. All in these population groupings could be considered passive supporters of the status quo by either creating more negativity for Earth to deal with or by putting forth no energy toward change. And there is another group supporting the status quo by the energy of their thoughts and feelings. The troops in the trenches need to feel that they are serving a valuable purpose, and so do their anxious families. The many thousands who have sustained life-changing physical and physiological wounds and their families need to feel the same. And certainly, the families of the women and men who have died on the war front need to feel the deaths were for something meaningful, or they would be inconsolable. The combined energy attachments of all these souls inevitably what they do also slows the process of change in the government that approves of waging the war and wants it to continue. All of those many, many millions of souls need light to fill their hearts and open their eyes, and the light being sent to each and every one is letting Earth feel more hopeful that most of her humankind will travel with her. She knows that as the vibrations increase along her ascension path, so does the communication between the soul and the consciousness. And sparks are flying, so to say, as her slumbering residents are awakening. This is what I refer to as the continuance of spectacular fireworks being a beacon light, lighting the way to safety for new soul searchers. Another reason for Earth rejoicing among the children who have come during the past 2 decades are those with extraordinary capabilities and ancient wisdom, and the mission to solidify the reforms that are being initiated by older generations who came with the purpose to do that. Some of these highly evolved souls know who they are and exactly why they are here, and others are discovering this about themselves. You will know these new leaders by their demeanor and actions. Trust your intuition about them. And if you are in close proximity, you will feel uplifted and energized by the energy emanating from them. When these souls are in leadership roles and light-filled multitudes are cheering them on, you and Earth will know that she is in good hands. As you said, finishing that answer, I want you to add one thing more before going to your question list. Quite some time ago, I told you to sign your correspondence, love and peace. I want to tell the readers why. Simply writing, typing or reading those words evokes a higher vibration within you. And the spoken words create even greater impact. Imagine the massive power you're generating by feeling love and working for peace. And then he now comes to the questions. And a question was asked about the use of monatomic gold. As someone read that the ingestion of it prevented an increase in DNA strands and also primed us for mind control programming, and of course they wanted to know what his opinion was. So Matthew said, I'll be happy to speak about this, but it is much more than my opinion. The truth is exactly the opposite of that claim. And while that false information has been passed on innocently, you can be sure that the originators know gold's place in human evolution. In highly evolved civilizations, gold is naturally an ingredient of their bodies because it is one of the most beneficial elements in the universe. As the microcosm of the universe that each of you is, this is how it applies to you. Gold enhances brain functioning and contributes to physiological stability through cellular regeneration. Throughout the eons of deterioration of human intelligence and the loss of knowledge of each life form started in the pure love essence of Creator, and is a part of the supreme rule of this universe, the use of gold went from health to wealth. It spiraled downward from its vital role in spiritual clarity and physical well-being to its use of jewelry and other objects of opulence, and eventually became the foundation for some economic systems. Gold is also an important part of higher civilizations' technology. The earliest visitors to your planet went there precisely to look for gold, and upon discovering it, kept this secret so they didn't have to share it with any other civilizations. Now, his mother didn't know that, and Matthew continued to say that gold... Hold on, I lost my little place here. Yes, his mother was asking, did gold have a bearing on age reversal? And did it relate to a much longer lifespan than we have now, referring therefore to Matthew's answer. He replied, it can contribute, but just as in all other facets of your lives, free will reigns supreme. And even in Earth's golden age, not everyone will choose to de-age or remain there indefinitely. In the beginning of physical forms, no disease, old age or death were in the DNA. And the ending of a physical lifetime was the soul's choice to move on to different experiencing in either another form or in spirit. However, when darkness entered the universe, the warring between the dark and the light forces started, and physical death began from lethal injuries in combat. This is when the world you call heaven, and whose proper name is Nirvana, was established, as the fatigued and wounded light warriors needed a safe haven to rest and recover. After the warring moved further away from your part of the universe, Nirvana became the spirit sanctuary for your planet. As more dark influence came into play, the human DNA was manipulated downward from the crystalline-based structure that accommodates many strands to the carbon-based one with only two strands in third-density beings. And the most evolved life forms were reduced only to primordial instinct. Throughout the ages of this evolution, love energy, the most powerful force in the cosmos, has been beamed as light rays to every soul in these low stations, and all who absorbed it have slowly made their way back along the scale of spiritual clarity and intelligence. Matthew confirmed that we're moving out of third density and said, but most of you are much further along on the way back than the souls deeply mired in the lowest aspects of third density worlds. His mother said, thankfully, we're beyond that. So many people are asking, what can we do about health issues and what today's practitioners will do when there's no more illness on the planet? And you said, I'm hoping you can comment extensively enough to cover everything, or do you want me to type all the questions? So Matthew confirmed that he didn't want her to do that. And he said, I can say only what I've had before in messages. Along with providing guidelines for coping with mental, emotional and physical anomalies that may be the effects of the new frequencies, I recommended consulting a trusted specialist in alternative health care methods and prayer. But we are aware of the general concerns and interests about this subject, and I will still speak about these. To begin at the beginning, bodies are not solid. Like everything else in the universe, bodies are energy fluctuating at one frequency or another, and blockages in the energy flow at bodies' most vulnerable points are the cause of illness, pain, debility, and ultimately physical death. The vulnerable points may be the vestiges of ancient wounds carried forth in cellular memory, or areas weakened by some trauma in this lifetime. When these conditions are provisions of a soul's contract to balance or complete other lifetime experiencing, a body's energy field blocks the healing energy being directed and the health practitioner's efforts cannot be successful. When this is not the case, treatments can be effective in activating the body's self-healing mechanism when the patient has this belief and the intention to be healed. You need to understand also that everything negative on Earth pertaining to health and well-being, such as endemic disease, malnourishment and impoverishment, viruses and pollution, all devised by the darkness in humankind, is there to provide what the souls need to complete third density, karmic experiencing, and move into higher densities where no form of darkness can exist. What happened is that far longer than originally thought, most souls inhabiting Earth only partially completed their chosen experiencing or, through their free will choices, kept incurring more karma that needed to be balanced by reincarnating in the same kind of circumstances. Earth was depleting her own light by giving it to her residents time after time as still one more opportunity to complete the third density experiencing cycle. And because of this, 60-some years ago, her planetary body was near death. Rather than let her body die and her soul was sent, she chose to give up her humankind. She chose to give her humankind one last chance to wind up their karmic lessons. This is when she cried out for help, and God authorized our space family to intervene with the infusion of light that keeps the Earth body alive. She has had her fill of living in third density where darkness thrives, and during her ascension out of that station, her residents have the opportunity to accompany her. Many who are experiencing painful mental, emotional or physical conditions are completing the balancing needed to make that journey with Earth. We know the suffering this is causing and how we wish we could do more for you whom we love beyond your comprehension. But all that is within our province to do is to send intense light to relieve the anguish and sorrow and provide spiritual guidance for this lifetime and the next in spirit. Looking ahead, when the Earth reaches still higher frequencies, Western medicine procedures will become history, while the use of alternative health care more slowly diminishes. And all of you who are employed in any aspects of these current endeavours will welcome the changes. Along your journey with Earth, you will remember abilities and talents that in this moment still elude your consciousness. And when you remember the gratification they once gave, you may choose to enter those fields again. If you wish to keep working in healthcare, you can use your knowledge, skills and experience to treat or teach souls in other civilizations. Astral travel will be safe and commonplace in this part of the universe, and miles will not be a deterrent. Either way, you will be added to the storehouse from whence all your knowledge came, the universal mind, where it can be tapped into by inspired souls, just as you did. While these developments will be greeted joyously, we do understand that it doesn't satisfy your longing to relieve pain and suffering right now. We encourage you to follow your inner voice, whether the message is to forsake entirely the traditional methods or you are guided to add to your therapy reservoir the various forms of natural healing. If your intuition tells you that patients would be receptive to hearing about soul contract choices and the purpose, tell them. And if not, tell them that science is discovering the body's self-healing mechanisms and about the power of belief and healing intention. And you keep in mind that your efforts can be successful only if it is the patient's soul-level choice. Now, Matthew's mother mentioned that one of the most numerous questions they get is about the world economy. And Matthew said that we see they are primary concerns. They are natural and logical because it is difficult for you to imagine any other system than to what you are accustomed to. And only a comparative handful of people know how corrupt the system is, and that international trade, banking and stock markets are manipulated by the Illuminati. Although I cannot give you finite details of the changeover process, I can give you an overview and assure you that the honest, knowledgeable people who will manage the process intend to minimize disruption as they fairly distribute the world's wealth. The new foundation of the currencies will be a return to an old one where there actually was a set standard for exchange. Now there is only a vague appearance of value as transactions are from computer to computer, and the total worth of daily transactions far exceeds the money available back to them. Because the debts of the poorest nations were incurred by desperation and the loans were not used to benefit the citizens, those debts will be annulled. As for economic collapse in the United States, that country's coffers have been empty for some time and its citizens can only benefit from new economic management. The US national debt is due to the Illuminati's skullduggery in calculating it, and when their Federal Reserve System and its collection arm, the IRS, are dissolved, the actual debt will be manageable. Now, I fully expected to be able to finish Matthew's message, but unfortunately, I'm within a minute or so of having to end the program. So what I'll do next week, as soon as I've read Sheldon Nidal's message, I'll come to the rest of Matthew's message. There isn't very much, but I wouldn't like to leave any of it out. So, it didn't get quite as far as I hoped, although I was trying to, but that leaves a good volume of articles ready for next week already. So, I'll say thank you very much for being with me. I hope you enjoyed what I presented to you, and I'll leave you now, and I will say God bless you all. Thank you very much.